Welcome to Christ Central, for it is Christ who is the hub of hope and the focal point around whom all else revolves. Please come join us for worship Saturday mornings at 10:40 a.m. at the Honolulu Central Seventh-day Adventist Church on 2313 Nu'u'anu Avenue. This week features special guest Chef Mark Anthony, who appears in cooking shows on 3ABN, Three Angels Broadcasting Network. In addition to cooking for some of the biggest names in show business, Chef Mark Anthony has done healthy cooking events in every single state. Here, at our own special guest appearance, Mark shares his testimony of how, despite worldly success, the life-changing power of God's far-reaching arms had an even greater plan.
1 Kings 14:8. Talk about forgiveness. This is going to blow you away. And this is God talking here. And it says, "And tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept all my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, only to do what was right in my eyes." Now here's God saying that David kept all his commandments. Now, wasn't David an adulterer and a murderer and a few other things? I mean, didn't he send Uriah to the front lines? So how could God be saying that David kept all his commandments? And I did a little more homework. I found this three times in the Bible. And it just goes to show you, remember David. David was always running to the Lord, crying and pleading for forgiveness, wasn't he? Now, this had happened after David had died. And it just goes to show you that God not only forgives us of all of our sins, he literally forgets every one of our sins. Amen? Amen. I mean, do we have an awesome God or what? Amen. He has forgiven every one of us of all of our sins. And the only person that's going to bring up those sins in the past, that's Satan coming back saying, "You're not good enough. Remember this and remember that. And what about this?" See, that's what Satan tries to do. But God wants us to be in that position to move forward with him. So, amen. It takes a lot to open up your own casino in Vegas. You have to go and do all these application fees, which are really expensive. And I didn't have any partners or anything. Just went and applied for them. And I got my liquor and gaming license. In Las Vegas, I was actually the youngest executive chef ever of a casino in Las Vegas. Doing big events and catering for all these celebrities, hundreds of them. It takes a lot though. You know, all the FBI background checks that it takes to get a gaming license, and they call your teachers from grade school to see what type of character you have. And that's crazy what they do. And you have to appear in front of this review board, and the review board will be up there in this little perched area, and you have to go and confess your sins to them. Yeah, and you sit there and, "Oh, yes, I did this, and yeah, I did that too." And as long as you confess your sins to the review board, they sit there and say, "We have abolished you of all your sins. You are now granted your gaming license." It's just crazy. So anyway, I got my gaming license, opened up a casino. Now, it wasn't one of the big casinos, but it wasn't one of the itty-bitty ones either. My casino was the hangout for all the FBI agents, all the CIA workers, the city officials, all the police officers. And I didn't even sell donuts. You know, but they showed up all the time. And all the women that worked the nightclubs at night, they felt safe there. So I had all the women coming in after their shifts. And if you got the women, you got the guys. So it was like a perfect mix for Sin City. There was times we were pulling $20,000 a week out of a slot machine. I would actually go to other casinos, sit down next to those dollar players, like where's the dollar players, and entice them to come to my property, giving them free meal tickets, things like that. Come over for a steak dinner. And more often than not, there they'd be in my property. Now, just to let you know, I was actually raised Catholic, okay? My parents took me every Sunday, and I was the altar boy, until I became taller than the priest. And then they finally said, "We gotta get somebody else up here, this just doesn't work." I left the Catholic Church the day I left home to go to college. 92% of the kids leave the faith within 2 years of leaving home. According to the Barna Group, they've done studies on this, and 92%, and that's all faiths, but 92%? we're not doing something we need to be doing. I think we just need to keep the kids instead of sending them off. Something's got to change. So I was part of that 92%. And God was just impressing upon me, saying, Mark, I got something better for you. The problem was I was not listening to God. I was listening to the world, making all this money. And it doesn't matter how far down you are in that well, God's got a long enough arm to reach you. And he started showing me all the devastations that were happening from this casino business. I mean, moms coming in with their half-naked kids, looking for their boyfriends or husbands who are blowing the paychecks in the slot machines. You know, and women too, in there blowing the paychecks, even before they go home and feed the family. And my whole crew was trained how to deal with problems like that. That's how often it happened. And we'd separate the kids, take them in the kitchen, and then break up the fight that's happening. And that's how trained we were. I had one kid did an armed robbery the day after he blew his paycheck in the slot machines. One couple, senior couple, they would actually sign markers for money. And they might sign for 200 here and 300 there. By the end of the day, they may have lost a couple thousand dollars. And the interesting part is I want a lot of people playing on markers, because if you win, you have to pay me first. So now the winnings off the property don't leave the building. You know, they don't leave the property. The next day the banks would open, they'd pay me, and they'd start gambling again. And they did this for quite a few seasons at quite a few different properties. Lost everything they had. They lost their entire life savings. They lost their retirement. They lost their home and their vehicles, everything. Left town in a beat-up pickup truck with a camper topper on the back. I had other casino owners calling me up, saying, have you seen these people? They owe me money. And I was like, yeah, they owe me money too, but they skipped town. I didn't care about the money. See, I could give every one of you $100 to play a slot machine on a marker. I could pull it out and give it to you again. Now you owe me $200. We can do this all day long. And, you know, and God is still impressing upon me, and here I'm still not listening to God. You know, see, there's a lot of people listening to God with their ears, okay? But they're not listening to God with their actions. Look up the word listen in the dictionary, okay? One of the definitions of the word listen is actually obedience. You know, we need to be doing what God is asking us to do. James 1:22, be ye not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. That's right. You know, and I'm telling you, you know, God was just grabbing onto my heart saying, Mark, I got something better for you. I had one lady. They started allowing credit card machines behind the bar. And then one day, I'm back behind the bar doing a liquor count. And she was with my bartender saying, hey, see if you can get $10 off this credit card. It's like, no, how about five? She was trying every credit card in her purse, trying to get $5 to play a slot machine. Well, you know, that's nothing compared to finding her with a bullet in her head, committing suicide, and orphaning three kids. You know, that's what that business does. That's Satan's job, to rob and destroy and kill. I mean, how do you think it felt to be at that funeral? Well, you know, I never went to a funeral. And I said, am I getting that desensitized by this industry that I never went to a funeral? You know, but I prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, I know you got something better. What do you want me to do? And my lease was up on my property, and I said, you know what, it's time to get out. And I got out of that business, and I've never been back since. And I had enough money, you know, if I needed to take 3 or 4 years off of work or get in another line of work or whatever, that wasn't a problem. And I ended up getting married. I thought I married Miss Wright, but I did not know her first name was Always. Yeah, I married Miss Always Wright. Long story short, when the money was gone, so was she. And she knew how to save money. I mean, she'd save $1,000 on that new car and save $10,000 on a house for her parents. Almost saved me right into bankruptcy is what she did. Thank God I've got a wonderful godly woman now. I mean, what a blessing it is to have a wonderful woman in your life that's a godly woman. And, Amen. And but I'll tell you what was really interesting, though, was the closer I was getting to God, the farther away she was getting from me. You ever notice how that works? The more I was praying, the more I was studying, the more I was reading, the farther away she got from me. And here I am, flat broke, in debt, and ended up living in my car for a couple months till I could get a couple paychecks and get a place. That's how far in debt I went. And you know, there's a lot of people that give up on God. See, God tests a lot of people. He tests a lot of people through their prosperity, and a lot of people are tested through their poverty. You know how that works, don't you? Look at the richest neighborhoods. They have the least amount of churches, and they do the least amount of tithing. They're like, what do I need God for? I got everything I need. And then when people hit rock bottom, they give up on God. They're like, oh, we tried it your way. That sure didn't work out. They were testing God in a way they should not be testing God. And I said to myself, I knew I was going, you know, being humbled and going through a process. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get even closer to Christ. And I started spending time on my knees every single day. If you will just spend 1% of your day, that's 15 minutes a day, just spend 1% of your day with Christ, you'll change your life. Just 1%. You know, and I'm telling you, it didn't happen in a day or a week or a month. It was month after month after month, year after year, of spending every day on my knees. And I started going to different churches in Las Vegas. I've been to over 200 different churches in Las Vegas. Never did go to a Seventh-day Adventist church, though. Out of all that time, God never put me in that Seventh-day Adventist church. Whatever sins you want, Vegas has a church for you. Absolutely. Oh man, they're crazy there. There's churches that are actually inside the casinos. And I'm not talking about the chapels you get married in. I know pastors that actually meet with the congregation and have cocktails before service. Other pastors have cocktails up on the pulpit. One pastor, I've talked to the guy, he actually gives classes on how to play slot machines after service. And he justifies it with the Bible. He's like, oh, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So if you're not winning on the slot machines, you're not being right with God. So I finally quit going to church altogether. I said, I can't go to there. We call them two-verse Charlies. They take two verses of the Bible, and that's what they live by. And then one day I'm watching television, and I'm watching a lot of the Christian television stations, picking up what I can there, and I ran across 3ABN. Yeah, Three Angels Broadcasting Network. They're teaching the whole message, just validating what God had just spent the last 8 years teaching me. And I knew about the Sabbath from my brother, who was married to a Jewish lady. I always wondered why people were not honoring the Sabbath the way they should. And the more I'm watching, the more I'm getting excited about it. Like, there really is a church out there that's teaching the whole message instead of bits and pieces of it. Started sending them donations. I was like, you guys are doing such a good job, so I'm sending them donations. Started going over to Paradise Church in Las Vegas, the other Paradise Church. This is like Paradise, Paradise, this is, but Paradise, Las Vegas. 3ABN calls me up and says, hey, we'd love to have you come over and do a cooking show. And so I was like, okay, I'll bought a ticket, went over there, and did some cooking shows for him, and did a couple more and a couple more. And then I ended up just getting baptized 7 years ago by Jim Gilley over at 3ABN. Yeah, and God has been using me ever since. But I'm like Isaiah 6:8, all right? I'm like, send me. I can hop on one foot. Send me, I'll go. And because I get excited about serving the Lord, amen? And I'll tell you what, it's amazing what God has done in my life. You know, I just turn everything over to him. Just hit my 1,000th cooking show. I mean, I've done over 1,000 speakings, and God's provided every single step of the way. Amen. It's just been amazing what he's done. Amen. And I go to churches in gang areas. I go to churches with 10 people in their congregation. And I've had other people that come up to me, and they're like, Mark, why do you mess with those churches? And I just look at them, and I'm like, well, why don't you? You know, God wants us going everywhere, right? But that's probably why they're only booked 5 times a year and I'm booked 5 times a week. You know, God can use the willing. And we need to get excited because time is coming so short. And it's so messed up in this world today, isn't it? I've had people In fact, just recently, people coming up to me saying, Mark, you were making that kind of money in the casino business? Why would I ever go back to Egypt when I see the promised land right in front of me? Amen? We are this close to the promised land. This is not the time to be running back to Egypt. There's too many people that are hanging on to that fence. Satan owns the fence. God wants us on solid ground with him. Take it one step at a time. And don't be sitting there saying, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Oh, there's too many people waiting on the Lord. There is a time to wait on the Lord, isn't there? Now go to Hosea 12:6. Just a little food for thought I'm going to give you here. Hosea 12:6. This is the NIV version. Wait for the Lord. Now my New King James Version says, wait on your God. And the original translation is to serve the Lord always. So here's different translations of the Bible, and it went from serving your Lord always to waiting for the Lord. That's the exact opposite. Satan always, he tries to make one little change so nobody notices it. But we're supposed to wait on the Lord, like a waiter or waitress waits on somebody in a restaurant, serving the Lord continually. That's what waiting on the Lord means, amen? But see, Satan has a way of twisting things around, and he's got little strategies that he tries to brainwash people with so they don't understand the real truths of the Bible. I mean, Satan is actually putting people in a state of hope. I got one amen out of that. These are definitions of hope in the Bible, okay? You gotta get this. This is gonna blow you away. Faith, hope, confidence, security, assurance, boldly, to confide in. There's a lot of good definitions of hope in the Bible. Now, these are definitions of hope in the Bible, too. Without care. Carelessness is a definition of hope in the Bible. To attach oneself. I love this one. To be careless. The folly of relying upon any other type of security strongly contrasted with depending on God alone. It's almost bipolar. See how that works? One who is overconfident and shows no caution whatsoever. Definition of hope. My favorite definition of hope. An express sense of resignation. There is nothing more one can do. So that kind of sounds like hopelessness to me, doesn't it? So we have to understand there's a big difference between hope being a noun. Our hope is Jesus Christ. And hope being a verb, which is an earthly, ungodly hope. But see, what Satan does is he bundles it all together into one big package. And he sends it out there into society saying, all you need is hope and everything's going to be fine. It's actually a form of insanity. You know what insanity is, right? That's kind of doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. That's what people are doing with hope. They're hoping for the same thing over and over and over but expecting a different result. They're hoping the economy's changed. They're hoping administrations can do something. They're hoping they get a job without ever actually looking for a job. It's a form of insanity. Is there going to be hope in heaven? No, because we're going to have our hope fulfilled in heaven, amen? And see, that's the way we have to be here on earth right now, is having our hope fulfilled, knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, not hoping that he is a Lord and Savior. Are you getting this? But this is the way Satan works. He bundles things together. He does this fragmentation out there, sends out fragments by the billions. Oh, I'm telling you, we are just missing the mark on this grace thing here. You know, grace used to be something so reverent and so precious. And it was something so revered that, and it just got cheaper and cheaper and cheaper over generations and generations. And Satan did this really slow. And now, the only thing we see out there is free grace. Free grace, free grace, free grace, free grace for everybody. I would much rather you call it priceless grace. To me, that's a better name. Is it really free grace when you look at the price that was paid on the cross for it? You know, in this younger generation, man, they are demanding their free grace. They're expecting their free grace without ever going to church, without ever tithing, without ever praying, without ever knowing God, they want their free grace. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to receive certain types of grace, right? Amen? So there's already a form of action. And then when it comes to salvational grace, you actually want the least amount of grace possible. Romans 6:1, shall we sin thus grace may abound? Certainly not. God forbid. So, but this is the way Satan works out there. He just does these little twists. And that's why, more than anything else, you have to pray for discernment. Okay? Ellen White talks about discernment more than any other subject in the Bible. In fact, let me share this with you real quick here. This is from The Great Controversy, page 595. The multitudes do not want biblical truth because it interferes with the desires of the sinful, world-loving heart. And Satan supplies the deceptions which they love. But God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the Bible and only the Bible as the standard of all doctrines and the basis of all reforms. Satan is now putting forth his utmost effort for a final struggle against Christ and his followers. The last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform him marvelous works in our sight. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the truth that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by Holy Scriptures. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. And we're there. We have got to get connected with this Bible. Billy Graham, they were interviewing him and they asked him if he had to do it all over again, what would he do differently? And he says, I would have prayed more, I would have studied the Bible more, and I would have read more. And it's true, that's what we got to do. Iron sharpens iron, amen? And we need to strengthen ourselves very strong right now. Satan's just trying to pick off all these frames. And we need to strengthen ourselves so he can't come over and do that. You know, we need commitment. The last thing you want to do is be hanging on to 10% of your sin. You know, there's too many people that are only giving God 10%, or they're only giving God 70%, or 90%. We need to give Christ 100%. I mean, would it be okay to marry somebody who's only going to give you a 70% commitment? Would it be okay if your wife or husband only cheated on you 40% of the time? Now, aren't we supposed to be preparing ourselves as the bride for the most spectacular wedding in the history of the universe? What are we doing going into it with a percentage? We've got to do a full 180 and start giving Christ everything we have. Just launch yourself forward. Christ will do the rest. You know, but we need commitment. I'm flying over here and some people come up to me and they're like, I've got God as my co-pilot. If God's your co-pilot, switch seats with him. Amen? Let's have him start being the pilot. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will see me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. He's got plans for every single one of us. He's got plans for this church. And I'm telling you, Satan does a lot of things. And there's so many people out there that, you know, I can't even show you the stuff in Vegas with the billboards and stuff. But now luck was derived from Lucifer to take favor away from God. How come every time something good happens in your life, you were lucky? But every time something bad happens in your life, oh, that was from God. That was meant to be. I'm telling you, if something bad happens in your life, I guarantee you Satan had something to do with it. And if something good happens in your life, we need to give Christ the praise and glory and thanks. Amen? Amen. Not be sitting here calling it luck. And Romans 8:28, all things work together for God's good, greater good, to those that serve him and love him. But I'm a true believer in that. It doesn't matter what Satan does. You know, you may lose a limb, you may lose a loved one, you may have tragedy, lose a job, but when you take it to the foot of the cross, God can make something better out of it. In fact, there was this lady in Las Vegas. She lost one leg and the toes off her other foot. She's on fire for the Lord. She has a ministry called Amputee Ministry. And she's connected with the entire database for the United States. And anytime somebody within 500 miles loses a limb, they call her up to go over there and counsel. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what Satan does. Take it to the cross and God will make something better out of it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Father God, we thank you so much for bringing us together. And we thank you for the blessings of being able to be in your presence today. And Lord, we know we all have challenges in our lives. We all have struggles. But we know that Satan is shooting these arrows because his last arrow is soon to be shot. And you're coming forth to take us home for all eternity. So we just thank you so much. And Father, I ask special prayers over Ruby as she moves forward into San Diego, that you will be with her as she ventures into a new place where you put her, so that she can bloom and that it be such a blessing to so many other people now. We're here to serve you, Lord. Doesn't matter where you put us. We are here to shine for you. And Lord, I pray that this congregation will be that bright, shining light in the community. And the darker it gets, Lord, the brighter we need to shine. So open up our hearts and minds and teach us how to bloom and excel right where we're at. Right where you have us. You can do mighty things through us, the willing, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this week's special guest appearance by Chef Mark Anthony. Please come join us for worship Saturday mornings at 10:40 a.m. at the Honolulu Central Seventh-day Adventist Church on 2313 Nu'u'anu Avenue. If you would like to watch or subscribe to audio podcasts, please go to www.facebook.com/Honolulu Central SDA for this, past sermons, and many more to come.